Welcome to the Small Business Tax Savings Podcast, your weekly dose of accounting and tax tips specific to small business owners. You will be on your way to growing your business and paying the least amount in taxes as legally possible. Here's your host, Mike Jezoshek, CPA.
Today we're talking 1031 exchanges. And as throughout the past couple weeks, we've been talking about real estate and how real estate can help you save on taxes. But at some point, all this depreciation that we talk about is going to come to a head when you sell your property. And that's when this idea of 1031 exchanges comes in. And to talk about 1031 exchanges, who they're for, what they are, how do you do them, what are some things you need to be thinking about, we brought on an expert. We brought on Mike Shear from RCX Capital Group. And so Mike's going to go through this idea of a 1031 exchange, what you need to know, what the important aspects of it, so that you can utilize this as just a continuation of your strategy around real estate planning to your tax plan. So Mike, welcome to the show.
Mike, real pleasure to be here. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, and I know we got some legal things that we need to get disclaimers that we need to do ahead of time. So I'll let you get through that, and then we can kind of hit the ground running on the content.
Awesome. Much appreciated. So just a quick disclaimer, RCX Capital Group and the opinions expressed by RCX Capital Group on this podcast are their own and do not reflect opinions of any third party. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risks and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. And past performance is not indicative of future performance.
Excellent. So, Mike, the past few weeks, we've been talking about real estate and utilizing real estate as a tax strategy and all the aspects around that. And one question continues to pop up and says, okay, you know, I'm taking this depreciation and now I've gotten the utilizing the tax strategy and the benefits of this depreciation. But now I go to sell this property. And because now my basis is zero, I brought my basis down significantly, I'm facing this big capital gain. And that's where this idea of a 1031 exchange pops up, right? So I want to open up the door to you to just explain from a high level, what is a 1031 exchange and who might utilize one or what would be a good situation on when a 1031 exchange might be utilized?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Mike. And when we talk about 1031 exchange, what we're specifically referring to is section 1031 in the IRS code, which allows someone who holds investment real estate. Again, we're not talking about a primary residence, but they own investment real estate. Section 1031 allows them within specific timelines to sell that property, which would be the relinquished property, and invest it in what's called like kind. And if they do that within the timelines and follow all the rules within the code, it allows them to defer that gain into perpetuity, where ultimately upon their passing, their heirs would get a step up in basis. So to your point, Mike, it's an exceptional tool for wealth building, but something that you definitely need to plan around.
Yeah. Now, when we talk about this from a high level, it sounds like, oh, that's pretty easy, right? I sell my property and I buy a new property that's like kind and no capital gains. But when we look into the reality of that, when we look into the details of that, it does get a little bit more complex than that. And there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of requirements we got to meet. And there's also some different things that need to be done as part of that process. So let's go start through that process. What are some of the requirements or what are some of the things that need to be done for a 1031 exchange from the first point of, hey, I have a property ready for sale. And if I want to think about this 1031 exchange and not paying capital gains, deferring capital gains on my property, what are some of those things I need to be thinking about right from the start, right from the beginning?
Yeah, that's the first thing I would tell anyone contemplating selling their investment property. The number one thing is, A, make sure your tax advisor is involved in the conversation, understand what your basis is on the property. And you brought up something, it's not just where you purchased the property, but what is your new adjusted basis when you factor in all the depreciation? In some cases, the property might be depreciated to zero. So one, bring in your tax advisor. Number two, know how you own that property. you know, the 1031 exchange needs to follow the taxpayer ID. So if you own it with others, understand the structure that owns it, that's going to again play into part the planning. And then know kind of who the key parties are in a 1031 exchange and make sure you've assembled your team. And what am I specifically referring to there? One of the biggest mistakes we see, Mike, when someone's looking to facilitate a 1031 exchange is they haven't done the planning and they don't understand the different roles that are necessary. And one of the biggest components in a 1031 exchange, and I should say the role, is that role played by a qualified intermediary. That's the person who's going to take the sale proceeds from the sale of the relinquished property and put them into a trust account while you identify and look for your replacement property.
Got it. Makes sense. And so let's kind of start through that process. When we look at a 1031 exchange, there's some prerequisites that need to be done. And there's, you talked about this idea of money going into a trust. How long does it sit there? How long do I have to find a replacement property? Do I get unlimited amount of time? What does that look like? So let's go through some of those prerequisites of a 1031 exchange, because I think it's a key part here is that we don't want to sell a property and then think about 1031 exchange, because more than likely that window has already passed at that point. So let's talk about some of those things to hopefully get that in the head of people that may be looking to sell some real estate. These are some things I need to be thinking about prior to that official sale.
Right. So I would start thinking about the 1031 journey as soon as you're thinking about listing your property, right? So the steps there is you're going to list your property. You're going to want to make sure you've identified a qualified intermediary. That qualified intermediary is going to probably include a clause and provide language to include in the purchase and sale agreement that's going to direct the proceeds from the buyer to go in with that qualified intermediary. The next big component, Mike, is you're talking about the timelines inherent in Section 1031. And the timelines are very, very strict. So everything is measured from the closing date on the sale of your relinquished property. So upon closing, you have 45 days to identify replacement property. And then also from the sale date, you have 180 days to close on what you've identified during the 45-day window. Now, we're talking primarily about a typical forward exchange, but those are the key timelines that every investor should be aware of. So when you're planning for an exchange, a lot of exchangers are looking and thinking about what they might invest in their 1031 exchange journey while their relinquished property, their current property, is on the market for sale.
Makes sense. And so just to rewind that again, you have 45 days from the closing date of the property you sold to identify a property that you may want to purchase. And then you have 180 days from that closing date to actually close on that new property.
That's correct. And it could be more than one property too. But one of the rules within Section 1031 is you want to invest all the proceeds from the sale of your relinquished property. Doesn't mean you have to, but if you want full tax deferral, that's what the investor would need to do. And then during that identification process, when you're looking at alternatives, you're trying to work within the scope of what qualifies as like kind. And that's a very, very broad definition. It can be going from something like a farm into a single family rental. We see a lot of investors looking at Delaware statutory trusts and designing and building a portfolio of fractional ownership interests in institutional quality real estate. But the point here is understand what like-kind is and make sure that as you're thinking about building your wealth and what that investment journey looks like, you're wanting to find suitable investments that fit your objectives.
Makes sense. So let's dive into that idea of a like-kind slightly. So what can help qualify as a like-kind exchange? Because I'm thinking that if I sell a piece of land, a farm that's been in our family forever, and I don't want to get into farming again, what are those options? What does the IRS look like, from at least from a high level, as a like-kind exchange? And that is part of the requirements of the 1031 exchange, right? We're not just purchasing anything. We can't sell a farm and go buy some type of equipment that I'm going to now lease out. What are some of those requirements of that like-kind exchange?
Yeah, it needs to qualify as real estate, Mike. So when you're looking at that, you can go from a farm into a single family rental. You can go from a farm into a retail property. You can go from a farm into even oil and gas interests. So it's exceptionally broad. It just needs to qualify as real estate. And then I would break it down even further. There's real estate that qualifies as a security. And when we talk about that, we're talking about a structure called a Delaware statutory trust. And then there's real estate that would be considered direct ownership. And that's where the investor holds title to the real estate. And that is where they're going through their local real estate broker and finding a suitable investment property, whether that's a car wash or a single family rental. It just has to qualify as investment real estate.
Makes sense. Okay. So let's go through an example because I just want to kind of help illustrate this for our listeners. Let's say that we bought a property for $400,000 and we had depreciation on that of $250,000. So our cost basis in that, what our basis in that is $150,000. Now let's imagine that we sold that property for $1 million. If we do no 1031 exchange, no nothing, we're facing a capital gain of $850,000. Basically the sale price minus our basis in that property. We bought it for $400,000. We took depreciation of $200,000. Our basis is $150,000. So we sell a property for $1 million and our basis is $150,000. We have a capital gain of $850,000. With a 1031 exchange, how does that change this scenario? So instead of paying capital gain taxes on $850,000, what would change with the 1031 exchange?
Yeah, so great question. So the real advantage in this, Mike, is you're able to defer that tax liability. So when we model out transactions, we're looking at anywhere from 28 to 33% in terms of depreciation recapture as well as capital gains tax. And the value to that investor is taking all the proceeds from the sale of that relinquished property, in the case that you mentioned, $1 million, and having that $1 million go into a new property or a portfolio of properties that continues to provide a cash on cash return for that investor. So the value is, over time, that builds exponentially. And when you think about the after-tax dollars that that investor would then invest in if they didn't do a 1031 exchange, you're talking about a return that they would need in terms of 11 or 12% just to make up the tax hit in terms of what they would have to pay in terms of capital gains tax, as well as depreciation recapture. Again, all of that is dependent on what state they're ultimately in.
Yeah. And so I think that that's a key aspect. So in that idea, we have a gain of $850,000, but in order to defer that gain, we would have to invest the full sale price of that property, right? So that $1 million that we sold that property for, that million, if we wanted to completely defer that $850,000 gain, we'd have to invest that $1 million into a like-kind exchange, correct?
That is correct. Right. All the proceeds. And I'm going to define proceeds a little bit more granular for your listeners. That also includes replacing the debt. So in the case you mentioned, it sounded like it was an all equity exchange. A lot of exchanges are coming out of their investment property with debt. That debt would also need to be replaced because you're replacing the entire proceeds in order to get the full tax deferral.
Makes sense. So when someone comes to us and says, hey, I love this idea of a 1031 exchange, but I want to use these, I want to have access to the funds from my sale. Would you say to them that a 1031 exchange might not make the most sense for you if you need those proceeds today? Or would you look at it as a way is how can we reinvest those proceeds into a cash flowing property that now you can use the cash flow from that property to fund whatever you might be, you know, looking to fund?
Yeah, fantastic question. And I think this is where really planning and understanding your long-term goals and objectives really play a role. And you touched on probably one of the most important factors in a 1031 exchange that we listen to when we're helping exchangers, and that's liquidity, right? So depending on the liquidity needs of the exchanger is going to determine the path, because in certain 1031 exchange replacement options, they are passive, and the investor doesn't have disposition control. And then in other investments, maybe whether it's single family rental, they go out and buy a car wash, as long as they meet the intent to hold period, which is kind of a gray line. You might hear different things, but I typically think of it as about 2 years, but I would ask your tax advisor on that. you can go ahead and then sell that property in year three and generate liquidity. But what investors may also do along this journey is they might refinance or look at options that have refinancing options that might drive liquidity that they can then invest in other strategies. But most investors that are 1031 exchanging are looking for that what we call mailbox money, that cash on cash return that just grows over time. And depending on the product, you'll have rental escalations, things like that. But this is typically a strategy that's going to be for the life of that exchanger, where that investment real estate grows over time. So you have price appreciation as well as that cash flowing asset.
And I want to kind of go back to the first step of being real estate, because I think that this is a question that a lot of people come up with. If I'm a business owner and I am looking to sell my business and get into another business, the 1031 exchange is not an option for me, right? Because it has to have that real estate focus.
It would be an option, right? Because if you're a business owner and you own the underlying real estate of that business, that real estate can be carved out. So we work with a lot of SEPA professionals or people selling a business. And I like to think of 1031 exchange as kind of one tool in a tool belt. Mm. So in many cases, what we might be helping a business owner with is, hey, let's look at the real estate component of your business in the sale. And then let's look at other eligible gains where a strategy like an opportunity zone might fit. And again, that's where working with the business owner's tax advisor is so important, because that tax advisor can work with us and provide kind of what that eligible gain number is. And then we can help work with the investor to design a portfolio that meets all of their tax objectives.
Got it. Love it. So let's kind of go through again an overview of a 1031 exchange. And I know we have another conversation. We have another podcast episode we're going to do to follow up on kind of this idea of an opportunity zone, this idea of IDing some of those properties. But let's just go through a high-level overview again. What is the process of a 1031 exchange? And let's look at the idea of somebody that has a rental property that we're looking to sell within the next 30 days as an example. What are some things that they need to be looking at? And what does that process look like to fully complete a 1031 exchange, just as an overview?
Yeah. So I'll walk through all the steps. One, hey, do you want to sell your investment property? What are your replacement options, right? We see a lot of exchangers saying, hey, I want to wait a little bit because I can't refinance a property at these rates. Their current investment property, they're sitting on a financing rate of 3, but if they go out and buy a replacement property, it might be at a 7, right? So understanding, A, what you're selling and what your replacement property options look like in the current environment, I think is going to guide that exchanger as to whether or not they want to list their investment property. The next phase of that is, hey, I'm going to go out and list my property. I want to make sure that I have a qualified intermediary. Again, that is someone critical at every 1031 exchange. They're going to take the proceeds from the sale of the relinquished property. And once that property sells, there's going to be instructions to distribute those proceeds with the qualified intermediary. And they're going to set up all the investors' exchange paperwork. So ultimately, now that investor is thinking, hey, I've got my property listed. What am I going to invest in? And that's going to be dictated by what that investor's objectives are. And that's going to include everything from liquidity, any sort of estate planning, all those things are going to be part of that conversation. Once the property sells, now that investor's clock is ticking, they're looking at doing an ID. What are they going to invest in? And again, that could be one or multiple properties. And then there's different rules around the actual ID process. And then they move to actually closing on their new properties. And that needs to be completed within 180 days from the sale of the relinquished property. So if that investor, again, is planning and knows those timelines, I think everything is accomplishable within the timelines set out in Section 1031 of the IRS code.
Excellent. And Mike, two questions to kind of finalize this. Question number one, what is your role in this process? What does RCX Capital Group play in this 1031 exchange process?
Great question. So RCX Capital Group is a broker dealer, and we underwrite securities like Delaware statutory trusts, as well as opportunity zones, to help our partner firms, which are registered investment advisors, CPA firms across the country, help their clients make tax advantage real estate decisions. So think of us as almost like a Sherpa in the process, Mike. We're a guide to help investors understand the replacement property options. And we provide kind of a fully vetted list of those options and then just help the client navigate, get their resources in place, build their team, engage with their tax advisors so that at the end of the day, Mike, they're making the best tax advantage decision for their specific needs. So that's what RCX Capital does.
Yeah. And Mike's team has been incredibly helpful, especially if someone is looking at a 1031 exchange, looking to maybe sell their property. They've been extremely helpful in help talking them through that, letting them know what the process is, if they even qualify, kind of what they need to be thinking about and everything along those lines. So Mike, just to kind of wrap up this high-level overview of the 1031 exchange, and I know you're coming into our Tax Elm group to kind of deep dive even further into this exchange, but just to wrap up this 1031 topic, what are some common mistakes that you see people make when it comes to the 1031 exchange?
Yeah, great question. So one, just not knowing the difference between maybe like a principal residence and an investment property, not understanding how the property is held. So in some cases, maybe they own the property jointly in an LLC. So not planning far enough in advance and utilizing strategies to make sure that the tax journey follows the taxpayer ID. So again, the 1031 exchange needs to follow the taxpayer ID. Probably the biggest one, Mike, is just not using a qualified intermediary, as simplest that might be. So many people think that they can take receipt of the proceeds from the sale of their relinquished property and that automatically disqualifies them. And then just running out of time. And this is where I can't stress enough, proper planning is essential. You know, talk through your options, understand your options, understand your goals and objectives, talk about those with your tax advisor, because planning means all the difference when you're looking to facilitate a 1031 exchange. And I think leverage the resources. You know, I spoke about RCX Capital. We are also a pool of valuable resources. We share those resources to help exchangers on their journey make good decisions. So even that, if that's something outside of the world of securities, our goal is to connect people and help firms within our network.
Excellent. So Mike, where can people find you and find more information and get connected with you?
Yeah. So we work through our partner firms. So the best way to reach us is candidly to contact you, Mike, and let those firms make an introduction to us. We devote a lot of time to helping people, educate them. So it's free to chat. It's free to learn. And ultimately, our goal is just to operate and deliver results in the best interest of each and every exchanger that we engage.
Excellent. Yeah. So anyone that wants to connect with Mike, if 1031 exchanges in your future, definitely reach out. You can contact us, ask@taxsavingspodcast.com. We'll make an introduction email, get you over to Mike, and you kind of start this journey of that 1031 exchange process. And we're going to follow up this conversation where we're going to talk more about IDing different options and options to consider, along with opportunity zones versus a 1031 exchange, what those kind of look like. We're going to talk about in a future episode, so definitely check that out. Mike, thanks for joining. This has been incredible. I think this is such an important tool. We talk about real estate. It's kind of closing that picture. We talk about the power of real estate and utilizing real estate in your tax plan. But oftentimes this exit piece isn't something that's thought about. And I think this is so important and such a great tool that the government has offered to real estate owners.
One of the most amazing wealth building tools is Section 1031. So I'm thrilled that you chose to use this topic as a podcast. And again, it's very, very important that investors that own investment real estate understand the benefits of Section 1031 and how it can help them build their wealth in a tax-advantaged way.
Excellent. Thanks, Mike. And for listeners, I will see all of you next week.
This has been another episode of the Small Business Tax Savings Podcast. If you enjoy our weekly episodes, please leave a review and share with other business owners. You can find previous episodes and more information at www.taxsavingspodcast.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.